And today, we're going to start off with a little multimedia. Not surprising. And so you can go ahead.
Read about little Dilbert. He's not like other kids.
What do you mean?
Yesterday, I left him alone for a minute, and he disassembled the TV, our clock, and the stereo.
That's perfectly normal. Kids take things apart.
Oh!
The part that worries me is he used the components to build a ham radio set.
Oh, dear.
Is that bad?
Normally, I'd want to run an EEG on him, but the machine isn't working. It's worse than I feared.
What is it?
I'm afraid your son has the knack.
The knack?
The knack. It's a rare condition characterized by an extreme intuition about all things mechanical and electrical, and utter social ineptitude.
Can he lead a normal life?
No. He'll be an engineer.
No!
There.
Ah, yes. The knack. Let me tell you, that's much funnier if you know a couple of engineers. The engineer at WEEC, where I work, showed that to me, and he was laughing so hard he was about crying, so it touched a nerve with him. Do you have the knack? I consider the knack that ability to fix just about anything. I know that some of you have it. My brother Sean has it. My father-in-law has it to an amazing degree. Whenever he comes over, Chris hands him a list of stuff that he could do around our house, because Ryan doesn't have it. I do not have the knack. Let me tell you a list of things that are going on at our house right now that petrify me. And when I mean petrify, I mean like petrified forest. It paralyzes me. First, our phone issues. Some of you may know these because you've tried to call us. They've been going on for about since we moved there, on and off. People call us. It rings once, and then it goes immediately to crackling. So it's like, which makes them mad and us mad. I have rewired stuff. I have been in our crawl space, which isn't nice. I have messed with the box on the outside of the house. We bought different phones, thinking that maybe it was the phone. We called the phone company. Chris made sure to stay home during the time when the phone guy was going to come. Well, we got a notice saying that he came and nobody was home. She was home. Apparently, he had checked the phone box, which meant that he had to climb her fence to get to it. And here it is. He noted that it's our problem, so we have to fix it. Oh, and here's a bill for $120 since I stopped by. So right now, the problem is fixed. Sort of. If you go to our backyard and look at the back of our house, you will see a phone cord running out of our window. It goes to the box and plugs in. Because that little plug on the box works most of the time. Every now and again, we still get the crackling. But I know that if I call the phone company, they will send someone who will plug a cord into that little box, get a dial tone, say it's our fault, and leave and give me the bill again. Let's move to our kitchen. Our cabinets are a little old, and they're probably cheap to begin with. Our silverware drawer is having problems. Currently, it's totally missing its front. It's gone. So if you want to open it, you have to kind of slide your finger under it and pull it out. You see, it sort of sticks, and I jerk things that stick. And I've inadvertently ripped the cover off that thing a lot. And each time I've handily got my drill and screwed it back on. Well, of course now, the wood is so saturated with little holes that it will no longer hold. And I know because I've worked with a few of you, and I've watched you, and I know that if I was so inclined, I could go to Carter Lumber, I could get some wood, cut, work it, and make a new drawer. I also know that it would take me weeks, and I would ruin a lot of wood in the process, and in the end, it wouldn't fit, or I would rip it off again. And what frustrates me the most about all this is that I know deep down inside, that guys are supposed to be handy. So when my father-in-law comes to town, comes inside, looks around our house, and heads back to his car for his tools, which he brought, I feel very inadequate. Do you struggle with inadequacy? I think that everyone does in some way, but I really hate that feeling. That one that tells you, you don't quite measure up. It's often a moment that you would like to get back. I had another one recently. The pastors in the Mennonite churches in the area meet quarterly, and they meet at Der Dutchman, and I'm all over that. I love breakfast. Well, this past meeting, they were discussing a topic that I had been thinking about, and I had stuff that I wanted to say. Usually, I sort of sit at these meetings, eat, and joke, and I'm on my way. But I usually listen to everyone else discussing, don't really jump in. But this time, I had something to say. So when the time came, I started talking, which turned into rambling. I noticed that I was rambling, got very self-conscious, and then sort of lamely petered out. I was very grateful when someone else started talking so I could slink back down into my oatmeal and not say another word for the rest of breakfast. But I hate that feeling. I hate looking stupid. Inadequacy. The feelings of inadequacy. What causes that? Well, our story today from the Bible being Judges 4, if you want to follow along, I'm not going to read directly. It's the story of Deborah and Barak. The land of Israel was in distress once again. The whole book of Judges is kind of cyclical, which means it goes in a cycle. The people sin. God removes his protection. The people become oppressed and persecuted. They repent and cry out to God. God raises a judge to deliver them. Then they sin again, and the cycle starts over. So in Judges 4, the people are in distress. The Lord had given them over to an evil Canaanite king named Jabin. And Jabin had a capable army in the hands of a capable commander named Sisera. And Sisera's army possessed 900 chariots. And it says that they oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. That's apparently how long it took for the Israelites to then cry out to God for help. The judge that the Lord raised in this instance was Deborah. And Deborah was special. She was the only female judge. The commentary I read seems to imply that that was because there's probably no men capable or willing to do the job. I think that also Deborah was probably an extremely gifted individual. But she was no fighter. So she sends for one. A guy with a very manly name of Barak. That just reeks of testosterone, doesn't it? Barak the warrior. Picturing big burly Barak. Okay, so she calls for Barak and gives him this message. The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. That's pretty straightforward. The Lord commands you to do something, and if you do it, I will give you victory. However, our big, burly warrior, Barak, is suffering from feelings of inadequacy. His reply is, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. So Deborah kind of shakes her head, says, fine, I will go with you. But because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. Well, Sisera hears about this army that's being amassed against him and heads to meet Barak at Mount Tabor. And it appears that Deborah once again has to almost push Barak to go and fight him. Her words are kind of like a cattle prod. Here it's, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So Barak, I think probably reluctantly, attacked. And when they engaged the enemy, it says that the Lord routed Sisera and his chariots through their attack. So they beat them decisively, right away. And the enemy general runs away on foot. He deserted his army. Barak then, now courageous, chases down every member of the enemy army and kills them, except for the general. Because as Deborah promised, Barak doesn't get to enjoy complete victory because Sisera is killed in his sleep by a woman. Barak let his own feelings of inadequacy get the better of him. They paralyzed him. And that's one thing that those feelings can do. You remember his words? If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. It stopped him from acting. And if you are paralyzed by your inadequacy, what can happen? Well, God can and may give the job and its rewards to someone else. I'm not going to tell you to not feel inadequate, because that's not realistic. I think that is expected, that we all feel inadequate at some time. What we shouldn't do is allow ourselves to be petrified, paralyzed by those feelings. I have another little clip that I'm going to show you that shows someone getting frozen by feelings of inadequacy. So if you read my blog, these are both on here. Sorry, you got a sneak preview. But anyway.
Gjorde du on Skype?
Ja.
Med deg, ja?
Ja.
Så bra, ok.
Ja, hei du.
Hei du.
Ja.
Ja, hva gjelder det?
Ja, det det her.
Ja, vil du sitte?
Takk.
Ja.
Jaha.
Ja, så den, jeg har ikke fått gjort noen ting hele formiddagen.
Nei, jeg beklager at det tar tid, altså. Skjønner vi holder på å legge om til et helt nytt system, og da skal alle ha hjelp på en gang.
Ja.
Så du kommer ikke inn i den, eller?
Nei, den bare ligger der.
Ok, har du forsøkt å åpne den?
Ja, åpne den, altså hvis det hadde vært så enkelt, så hadde jeg jo ikke tilkalt helpdesk, hadde jeg vel?
Nei,
nei, nei. Du har lyst på en kvann?
Nei, ja, det skal være fort gjort, det skal vi se. Du bare gjør... Der. Sånn,
ja.
Da du I gang.
Ja, altså så langt kom jeg også.
Ok.
Ja, men så stoppet det opp, og så var jeg redd for at noe av teksten skulle forsvinne, ja. Så jeg turte ikke å gå videre.
Åja, ok. Nei, men du skjønner, inni her, så ligger det kanskje flere hundre sider med lagret tekst. Så for å komme videre, så tar du tak I et ark, på den måten her, og så blar du over på neste side, sånn. Da fortsetter teksten der.
Jeg blar, altså?
Du blar, ja.
Men når jeg skal tilbake, da?
Ja, da bare blar du tilbake igjen, tar tak der, og så... Der, så du tilbake til den teksten du hadde sagt.
Ok, så den slutter der, ja. Og så... Så fortsetter den der, ja. Ok, men når jeg skal avslutte programmet, hva gjør jeg da?
Da bare slår du sammen permene.
Ja.
På den måten der. Sånn. Det noe der, ligger alt lagret inni der.
Altså, jeg risikerer ikke å miste noe av teksten her nå.
Nei, alt ligger lagret inni her nå. Ja. I tilfellet sitter fyr på hele graden, det kanskje litt sannsynlig.
Ja, ok. Nei, men for det noe med det at liksom, når du har holdt på med skriftruller,
ja.
så tar det litt grann tid å konvertere seg og bla i en bøk.
Ja.
Ja, det jo noe til. Ja, men du, en TV før det går. Jeg bare går igjennom en gang til. Altså, jeg åpner sånn, og så, hva du kaller det?
Blar.
Jeg blar.
Ja, blar videre.
Blar hjem og tilbake,
ja, og
når jeg er ferdig, så bare lukker jeg den.
Nei.
Flott,
fint det.
Kjempefint.
Ja, flott
det. Ja, men du, nei, det er med, ikke sant? Nå det sånn igjen, nå får jeg ikke åpnet den.
Du
åpner fra andre siden. Så det ikke likegyldig, det sånn?
Åpner fra den siden her, sånn, der nå.
Ja vel.
Har du lest manualen, eller?
Manualen?
Jeg skal følge med som manualen som brukerveiledning, det sikkert enn det. Nei, vet du.
Oh, ja,
I den ja. Så alt sammen.
Ja. Ja, men ikke sant, der har du samme problemet. Får den ikke opp?
Ok, det skulle vi kanskje tenke
på. Yeah. That is way funnier if you've ever had to help someone like that with a computer. but that monk was frightened. He was scared. He had managed to open the book, but he couldn't go any further. Let's talk about the root of this as I see it. Why does it bother me when I feel inadequate? Well, it's because I don't want to look bad. I don't want to appear unhandy. I don't want to sound stupid. For me, those feelings of inadequacy have a lot to do with me being a very prideful person. I want to be the one who can fix stuff. I want to be the one with all the answers. And when I'm not, it hurts my feelings. It feels good when I do have all the answers. At work, I am that tech support guy. I get called in and I get to show off when someone has a problem. And they're usually really simple, so it looks really good. I love the one-finger fixes, where one button fixes the problem. I remember at the radio station one time, Dad called me in the morning. He did a program and he's, Nothing's working. The board is not on, okay? I'm like, I'm trying to explain. Fine, I'll come in. This is when I lived in Rosedale. So I drove 20 minutes down, walked in, looked at the board, hit a button, and went back home. There was one button. And Dad wasn't the only person that happened to, by the way. So I like being able to show off. I complain that I have to help all these people, but I like it. It feeds my pride. When the situation is reversed, and it's me sitting there looking stupid, it hurts. But you know, the Bible never tells us to look good. It tells us to be good. And that's really impossible by ourselves because we're all inadequate people. We never measure up. And that is a good thing because God doesn't want adequate people. He doesn't want perfect people. He wants inadequate people. He wants the ones who obviously couldn't make it happen on their own so he can step in and do something special. Let's look at the life of a guy who I think is the most adequate person in the Bible. You can't fault the Apostle Paul. Smart, led thousands to Christ, brought the faith to the Gentiles, wrote most of the New Testament. But if you look at that, you're looking at the end product. You're looking at what Christ did through Paul. When God chose him, it's very inadequate. He was killer of Christians, self-righteous Pharisee. Throughout his life, Paul looked at himself and saw himself for what he was, an inadequate, unworthy sinner. I'm going to read from Romans 7, 14 through 20. Listen carefully. It's a little convoluted. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I want to do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think that that has to be one of my favorite pieces of Scripture. Because I look at it and say, that's me. That's me. I don't want to sin, but I do anyway. I want to live a godly life, but I can't, not on my own. And perfect saintly Paul said that. So how should we handle our inadequacies? Because we have them. Don't ignore them. Don't fake it. Don't pretend you don't have them. Embrace them. This is what Paul is doing. Saying, I am inadequate. I'm a sinner. Embrace them. I am a dirty, rotten sinner. The only thing I can fix is computers, and even there, I'm fooling myself. I'm a scared chicken of a man when it comes to sharing my faith. But God is the definition of adequate. And I'm going to do what He tells me regardless because He will... I'm going to try to do what He tells me regardless, because He will accomplish things, and I should not be afraid about how I'm going to look, because He loves me, and that's really all that matters. Pray with me. Lord, I want to confess the sin of feeling inadequate, because I know that that really is saying that you're inadequate because you chose us. You chose us to do your work. meaning that you would do it through us. Forgive us for thinking that you couldn't do it, for thinking that we were going to do it on our own. And Lord, I know there's someone here who's feeling the way I have been recently about not measuring up, not being able to do it. And I pray that you'd help us to realize that. I mean, you know what? We can't do it. But you can. Help us to rely on you. Be there with us as we go through our journey. When we feel inadequate, step in and shine through us. Help them to see you in our weakness. In your name, amen.